I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are live in Las Vegas, having a great time. Hope you're having a good Thursday. Coming to you from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, where undefeated heavyweights will battle for the world title. As Deontay Wilder
pump it up, man.
Squares off, don't worry, I will, against Tyson, the Gypsy King Fury. Guys, it's going down. Fox Sports app, ESPN Plus app, and we're out here bringing you all the action. We're going to get a chance to talk to one of the big promoters, and one of the guys who's been doing it for a long time, Bob Arum, here in a little bit. So stay tuned for that, because this is a unique setup, and we talked about it. The idea of you getting this either on Fox Sports app or the ESPN app, those two big networks coming together and creating more vibe for this fight. All right, we'll talk more about the fight coming up. Lots of discussion today about the NFL, and I want to get back into this coming up because it seems like the NFL is going to have a new collective bargaining agreement potentially as early as next week, but certainly before I think we get to the start of the new league year.
Well, they want everything in place before they negotiate the new TV contract. The networks want to know they're going to have some football after 2020. That's part of it. So the consensus, I mean, is, I'll do a poll. Oh, no, I'll put up a poll question here in a second, but a lot of guys are saying, hey, they're cool with it. Nobody seems to have a problem that you're rewarding mediocrity. You know, we've already had teams under 500 in the playoffs before, so we had a bad division last year. It looked like no one was going to win that NFC East. So I don't know, man. I think the NFL doesn't need to do this. You don't need to put more eyeballs on your sport because you've already got enough. Nobody is sitting there going, oh, I'm not going to watch the NFL late December. And I know there's always going to be some crap teams, and some guys have said, well, this will also help avoid teams tanking. Teams don't tank in the NFL.
No.
Dolphins won games. The Bengals, I mean, you might think it's, but again, this isn't like, you know, dopey like Madden game stuff. I think we're going to tank, and you know, no, it doesn't work that way. But all right, if you guys want it, that's what you're going to get. But I think the most important thing, Carl, is we're not going to have a work stoppage. The guy's going to get a bigger piece of the pie.
Yep.
Closer to 50-50, but not even close to 50-50. And then we're going to have an extra week of football, and that might be everybody plays a game in another country. Not sure how that's going to work out. And, you know, I just hate losing one of my home games. You know, that's
I don't like that either. Well, especially when you pay for these eight home games. And
you don't pay for eight that year, but I pay for the experience. I want to go to eight home games. You're right.
Yeah. So more on that coming up. But it is a big story today because, again, this is something Mike and I have been talking about for months now and where this labor strife situation may go. Because, again, we said it. What was the deal breakers for the players and for the owners? But it seems like they're coming to terms with a lot of things. And for football fans, here's the news. Like, I know you guys don't care about the minutiae of the contracts and stuff. We don't get into that. Just as a football fan, you're giving me an extra game and potentially extra playoff games.
Right.
That's all I care about. Like, the money, we're not going to see any of that. The players are going to ultimately get their piece of the pie. But as a football fan, how could you not like that idea? All right. Before we get into dog conversation, and the Dogs got a big win last night on the hoop floor as well as Georgia Tech, and we'll talk about it. You were talking about a potential trade that may send a big-time wide receiver to New England.
Yeah, you got a deal now with, again, A.J. Green going to New England. That's being reported. It's funny because we were just talking to some of the guys who work in Boston so we can get the rumors from the guys that are closer to it. But imagine, I don't know if they're going to keep Mohamed Sanu, because I don't think they got the bang for the buck they were thinking. But you've got a guy, you might have if they keep Sanu, then you're going to have that old combination for the Bengals playing together. But A.J. Green, would that be the first step in getting Tom Brady to come, because you're going to have a big-time receiver playmaker there that you need, that they didn't have other than Antonio Brown for one game last year?
Now, he's been banged up. You guys know this. You know, Georgia fans follow A.J.
And it's not a trade. He's a free agent. He's out there.
So he'd be out there. He's been banged up.
32.
But I will say this. I actually still think that it's going to be, if it's him, that's fine, Mike. But I was thinking that we talked about yesterday with the Vikings. And
Getting Diggs.
Diggs.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs is not happy, and apparently he's going to be leaving Minnesota. Scrubbed all his Viking content off Twitter for others. Want to read it.
Because I think he's a little bit younger, and I think he's a little bit more explosive at this point. But A.J. Green is an excellent receiver. They just don't have anybody. I'm talking about New England. To stretch the field. And the reason why this is important is because this is all in the equation as to what is important to Tom Brady.
Right.
If you think it's just all about loyalty and all that crap, he's not going back to New England with guys that don't that he can't throw to. There was a miscommunication this year between him and the receivers, guys not being where they needed to be, and they didn't have anybody stretch the field. So for the first time in a long time, they didn't scare anybody, which is why they went out and got Antonio Brown, but then that didn't work out. Edelman, wasn't Edelman at times. Tight ends, Mike, they were searching. So they make the trade, and they think, all right, we'll get a slot guy in Sanu who can be on the field, and we can use him in various ways, and then that didn't work out.
Well, the Patriots aren't going to overpay for a guy like A.J. Green, who's 31 to be 32, as Carl said. He's been banged up, and what do you got left in the tank? Because, again, that's not going to be a big contract, you know, by NFL standards. But is it going to be Jarrett Stidham or Cody Kessler throwing to A.J. Green? It's just
That excites New England fans.
That's the thing. I mean, the more when we were talking about it, because there's guys from all over. They got L.A. guys here, Bay Area radio stations. We were talking to some of the guys who feel like the Chargers, L.A. guys think that Brady's going to the Chargers. And you got the Oakland Raiders and the Bay Area guys think Raiders going to throw a two-year, $60 million deal at Tom Brady. But the Patriots got to keep Brady because they don't have a quarterback now. They don't have a guy that can step in. Dude, if you think Brady's at 75% of his prime, right?
Yeah.
I just told you, Jarrett Stidham and Cody Kessler, whatever else they want to do in the offseason.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We invite you to text at any time during the program. We'd love to hear from you guys. Follow us on social media, 929 The Game. That's our radio station. All the posts from out here in Las Vegas, check that out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. I want to address this real quick before we talk dogs. Did you see this headline? Red Sox legend David Ortiz calls out Astro whistleblower.
Mike Fiers calls him a snitch.
Is that the issue, Mike? I mean, really, we're going to go at Mike Fiers now?
Well, you had to have somebody drop the dime. The thing is, this was out there. We talked earlier. If you missed the conversation, we had a great conversation with Brian Kenny, long time at ESPN, Major League Baseball, of course, now boxing analyst. And he was saying that, you know, everybody knew about this for two or three seasons. Baseball put the memo out. But this goes back to the rat thing I was telling you. Nobody likes a rat. Ortiz is entitled to his opinion, but that's why this stuff, you know, it wasn't going to come out, Carl, with somebody who was on that active roster currently. It was going to be somebody who was a disgruntled former player. You know, Trevor Bauer was banging the drum, pardon the pun, on this for 2 years, but everyone said he was nuts. So I disagree with David Ortiz because a guy like Bauer is being called a jerk. Meanwhile, he's got it clean. He's got it dead to rights, and they're making him a bad guy. So yeah. I think it's good for the – I mean, is it bad for the sport that somebody finally cracked? But, I mean, you're still a rat. At the end of the day, that is indisputable. You were a rat.
Yeah. He says, this is a quote from Ortiz, "I'm mad at Fiers. After you make your money and you get your ring, you decide you want to talk about it." Okay. I get it.
Yeah, but that's
– but he wasn't – here's the deal. But they all did that. Like, this doesn't come out until after they've all accomplished the ultimate goal, which is getting the ring, and they got their playoff money.
Right.
And nobody was in the middle of the season going, "Yo, we're cheating. We might win a ring this year, but I just want to let you guys know." Nobody did that.
Well, it's like Brian, like we said, with Brian McCann, a guy who's all about the unwritten rules of baseball and obeying them to the strictest letter of the law until he got to the Astros. And then he became, you know, a guy that, I guess the other unwritten rule of baseball is don't be a rat. So,
yeah,
right? I mean, at the end of this, end of the day.
Mike, it is the code. We talked about this, it. It's the code.
This thing is just so screwed up.
Don't you have a code?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a rat.
It's a code.
I'm not going to fold on to questioning Henry, as they said in Goodfellas. Nobody likes a rat. I get that.
All right.
You know, but still.
It's a mess. Hey, man, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by Brightbox, brightboxelectrical.com. Go get that man cave you always want. Hey, you going to watch the fight, man? First off, on a big screen, what do you get? Jeff Foxworthy, you got a flat screen on top of a console TV? Get with the program and get home security, home monitoring, and more with Brightbox.
How about them dogs? They beat number 13 Auburn last night. Ant-Man, that's Anthony Edwards, leads the way. 18 points, including a late three-pointer to slow Auburn's comeback attempt. As a matter of fact, here's Anthony Edwards early on, courtesy of the SEC Network.
They're trying to go with Wiley early and explore that advantage.
Edwards downhill, a little circus move. First bucket of the night for Anthony.
That made it 16-11, Mike, and he was going. But the more important thing is this team has been bad. We're talking about the Bulldogs in the SEC this year. Now you get your, what, third win in the conference?
Yeah, you're still, third win, and you're still at 500. Both Georgia Tech are at 500, 13-13. I said this earlier, so just real quick for the dog report, got to build off this. right? Don't now go up to Nashville and stink it up against the absolute worst team, the worst team worse than you, in Vanderbilt in the SEC. Build off this. You got a chance to get revenge against South Carolina, another game where you blew a double-digit lead. So you could finish, Carl, maybe winning 3 out of 4, 4 straight. And then rolling into the SEC tournament, and now you get a chance for postseason play, so at least maybe some NIT, a chance to be on TV some more. So that's what we're shooting for. Build off this, Tom Crean. Don't screw it up. Now, I love what we heard from Anthony Edwards. He goes up in the student section. He's dapping up with guys, taking pictures with everybody. And he says, hey, man, you know, we had some really hard times. And we've been struggling. We've been getting our butts kicked. He goes, stick with us. You know, stick with us. And it's great stuff that he gets it. Because, I mean, he's one and done. He's too much of a talent to come back. He's going to be a top three pick.
Let's hear the Anthony three-pointer that really stopped the Auburn run late. Bulldogs beat the Tigers 65-55.
Will have an immediate impact on the SEC race, and this guy making a name for himself.
This guy's a future NBA All-Star. God willing, he stays healthy, continues to work, continues to take the right approach.
Courtesy SEC Network, future All-Star. Well, future first five, top five pick for sure in the upcoming NBA draft. Here's Tom Crean, guys, because, you know, everybody's talking about Crean this season. We certainly have been critical of him because we felt like, you know, early on, again, you're showing that you have the mantle to get these leads, but you don't know how to keep them. Crean talking about Anthony Edwards.
I knew Anthony would bounce back. He's had a good couple of days, got the energy back up, and I thought he did some really, really good things. And then Anthony showed throughout the game, but really at the end of the game when he went on McCormick, just what he is capable of defensively.
So, good win for the Dogs. Meanwhile, let's talk about Georgia Tech because, Mike, they also get a win against Wake Forest. Jose Alvarado hitting a jumper early on, and you were thinking, all right, maybe it might be Tech's night.
Alvarado. Shot clock at 5, long 2. He's had a nice first half.
And then Josh Pastner, the coach in the postgame, after Tech gets the win. Nice week for Tech, by the way. Louisville, Wake Forest, all right. Mike just said it. Keep building. But he said the guards really were the key.
James Banks never got into the flow of the game just because of the foul trouble and then fouling out. And I've always said the only way to win games at this level, you got to have great guard play. And Jose Alvarado and Michael DeVoe were at a high level. Our guards were excellent.
Yeah, man, as we said, and I'll say it again, it applies to Tech. Do something with this, you know? Get to NIT. Get some more experience. I mean, NIT is not the ultimate goal, obviously, Carl.
But you want to be in postseason play.
I will say this, and I'll give him credit again, because I've been kind of like lukewarm on Pastner. I mean, they're not going anywhere with him because he's got a contract they can't buy out right now. But I will give him credit. 7-8 in the ACC. There was not a lot of years where Paul Hewitt's Jackets, you know, saved the Final Four season. We're doing that well in conference play. You just got to tighten up the ship, man. I know he doesn't have the superstars, you know, that Crean has with Anthony Edwards. But, I mean, let's just hope that there's something built off of this. Meanwhile, last night I watched some of this on the flight out here to Vegas. Duke loses to the trade school up in Raleigh.
Yeah.
I love watching Krzyzewski suffer. 88-66, Markel Johnson, 28 for the Wolfpack last night. That's a good NBA name.
It is.
And also last night, Louisville gets back on track. Remember, they fell out of the top 10. They smoked Syracuse, 90-66. And Villanova, I said this the other day, Jay Wright, they're slowly getting it together. Man, they're crawling up. So again, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. So the usual suspects are getting it dialed in.
NCAA tournament right around the corner. We are your home for the NCAA tournament.
The big one,
92.9 The Game, and the Final Four is in Atlanta this year.
Sorry to cut you off. Baylor, Kansas coming up on Saturday.
Big one.
So that'd be a fun game to watch in the sports book before we go catch the fight.
It is a big one. Hey guys, if you
a noon start, by the way.
Yes, it is. If you are an Atlanta United fan, and we are, you going to Nashville? Mike and I are headed up next weekend, February 28th. We'll be on from 1 to 6 Central. Remember, you make that trip, you gain an hour up there. But we'll be at the Tailgate Brewery, Music Row in Nashville, doing the show live. We're welcoming all Atlanta United fans to come hang out with us. It's going to be a party, guys, a fun time, and we'll be broadcasting live, plus special episode of Stoppage Time Live with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, Atlanta United prize giveaways and special guests and more. And then, of course, on Saturday night, Mike, is the big match, which kicks off our MLS season.
Can't wait, man. Going to be a blast up there in Nashville. I know I got my tickets, and we've got thousands of United fans that are going to make the trip because it's a fun trip and a fun city. And a reminder, we've got round two of CONCACAF going up against the team from Honduras, and that's coming up Tuesday. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw before we roll up the street to KSU, Fifth Third Bank Stadium, where we're going to be in action. action. And hopefully we'll be able to just take care of business, keep everybody healthy. Maybe a chance to see Hezeto out there on the field.
Yeah.
Not sure if Miles Robinson is going to be good to go.
Was that the green card issue, right?
Yeah, the visa. That apparently, Jason was talking about on the broadcast with Mike Conte the other night that there's a lot of players and a lot of teams that are having some struggles with the visa. So I guess whoever's working in the visa department, get a cup of coffee and get off your butt.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, LAFC, soft as Charmin. They get down and get in Mexico. They can't handle the heat, man. They're the glory team with all the bells and whistles until it's showtime, and then just fold. So it's kind of that's what makes us going down to a difficult environment in Honduras and a very dangerous city. It really is. And to go out there without your stars and grind out that time, man, that's why we are the best team in MLS.
I want to see LAFC again this year. I want to annihilate them. Yeah,
that little fella with a stupid little grin on his face.
I do. Hey, coming up, NFL, man, it's king. Will it remain king with the new CBA potentially in place? What does it mean for us as fans? We'll tell you about it next. Live from Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, getting you ready for Wilder Fury 2. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. We are going to talk about what's going down in the NFL. Literally breaking news as we speak. We will tell you about it in just a second. It's part of the process to get us to a new collective bargaining agreement. For those of you who may not understand what that is, that's the agreement between the owners and the players that they both agreed to how the league business is going to be done. And this is something we've been talking about. We'll get to that in a second. Mike, did you see Tyson Fury over there?
I was going to say, let's talk about the elephant in the room, man.
You're talking about Fury on stage?
No, I'm talking about the incredibly sexy Puerto Rican girl working for the fight promotion.
Jeez. You know what? I thought you were talking about Fury. He's just walking through the room. Everybody's buzzing.
You know what? You say what you want about J-Lo. That's a Jenny from the block up in the Bronx.
I think she is from New York, by the way.
Yeah, from Riverdale. We were talking to her earlier.
Were you?
We, the royal we.
Oh, I was going to say.
So in case my wife is listening, I'm just making nice conversation with fellow New Yorker.
I thought you were talking about Fury.
No, Fury's
more focused on completely other things.
We'll get a picture with her later if she's obliged. But no, Fury is in a fantastic outfit. He's doing some more live pops for TV. I'll tell you what, man. He's winning the haberdashery battle with Deontay. He's got
he's got
a black and gold. I don't know how to describe this thing. It's got gold stripes on it. And there's a picture that our man Sean just took. He'll post up there. You'll check it out. We'll get it at 92.9 The Game on Instagram. And all
dude,
that.
He's dressing to a T now.
So during the commercial break, step outside for just a second, use the facilities, and all of a sudden, here comes a phalanx of security with Deontay Wilder and about 100 people tailing him. And it just, I know for guys, we don't take it for granted that people have been out to Vegas, but those who have, and you've been out here for a fight, there is nothing like the energy of a fight weekend. It is bananas. And this place is just getting ratcheted up every minute.
That is true,
now,
my friend.
We were talking a lot, Carl, all week about how the NFL Players Association was going to handle these new potential offerings. We thought it might come down to maybe some loosening up of the drug testing policy, but it seems to me everybody's mind is on the money because there's so much money. There's no way we're going to have a labor issue next year.
All right, not so fast, because here's what happened just moments ago. NFL owners voted to accept the negotiated terms on a proposed new CBA. Now, this is what they have come up with. They have been in contact with the players' union and saying, hey, these are things we're thinking about. They've been using the media to talk about these things. But they have voted to say, this is what we want to adopt. Now, what are those things, Mike? It includes a 17-game schedule. It includes a larger split with the players from a percentage standpoint that is going to equate to about $5 billion over this next deal. It also includes expanded playoffs. But here's the thing. You've got players coming out saying, I don't want 17 games. Right. And this is still going to be a problem when you talk about now it's in the hands of the players to vote on this. Leonard Fournette came out. I disagree with 17 games. Mm. Richard Sherman has spoke adamantly about this, saying this is something that he thinks the owners are trying to use the media in a way to control the rhetoric. He says, I don't think players are interested in 17 games. So here's the deal. You're right. There is a lot of money involved. But you're still putting your body on the line for an additional week where guys are already banged up. And then you say, well, now you're going to add two more playoff teams.
Yeah, this is the question that you and I were talking about. 60-man roster, why don't you just put the practice squad on the permanent roster, get that extra bye week. Look, all the extra bye week does, in some ways the schedule can manipulate, is extend the season, which is fine in most NFL fans' minds. But I'm very interested to see if more guys are going to come out with the same mindset as Fournette and say, look, we're getting a better piece of the action. They're closer to 50-50 than they've ever been. There's billions and billions of dollars that are generated. I mean, this is the money we know about. The net, Carl, is insane. I mean, you're talking over like $15 billion this league is going to make next year.
Yeah.
You know, and again, after expenses, et cetera. So the player's going to get a bigger piece of the pie, but you don't think it's a slam dunk. Because remember, DeMaurice Smith is not necessarily popular with everybody in the rank and file of the league.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think. Like, the owners, now that they've come to these terms, and hey, this is what we want.
Right.
And they send it off, and like all the players are going to go, yeah. Imagine a big conference room like we're in right here, Mike, this huge conference area in MGM, and you've got every NBA or every NFL player rep there, and you're selling them on this idea. I just don't know if all these guys are going to be for it. We will see where it goes. But that is literally breaking news that the owners have said, okay, here's what we want. Players, it's in your court.
Expanding the playoffs, expanding the regular season, whether that becomes the exhibition game, so everybody will play a game in London over the course of the year, everyone will play a game in Mexico City or wherever. So that's part of it. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's so much money out there, bro. I mean, it's insane that these guys are going to have – I don't think it's ever going to get as close as it was in 2011, where the owners had – remember, they flew into Atlanta, and they came up with this deal last minute.
404-741-0929. I know a lot of guys are saying they're still trying to get their head, Mike, around the expansion playoffs.
Because, what did you say, it was 47.5%, 48%?
Yes.
The NFL, and we've talked about it, everybody wants 50-50. The NBA is the closest to 50-50. But this just makes so much sense. I like expanding the season if that's going to keep us from having a strike. You know what I mean?
I still don't
like the expanded playoffs, but I'm a dinosaur on that. Everybody on Twitter seems to like it. I'm going to put the poll up at Mike Bell ATL.
Okay.
Do you like expanding the NFL playoffs?
So right now, players get a 47% share under the current deal. Under the new deal, it would be 48%.
There you go.
At 16 games. But it goes to 48.5 if they go to 17 games.
So there's more juice, and they're splitting a big – I understand that some players, as you said, they got to figure out – do their mentals, protect their chicken.
Yeah.
But to figure out what this is all about. But it seems like it's about as – be honest with you, it's pretty fair and equitable by NFL standards when you think about how funky these things have gotten with Gene Upshaw over the years and then later with DeMaurice Smith.
I think – and here's the thing, and I'm not necessarily, on either side of this. As a fan, you know what I want? I want football.
Right. This is going to get us. Here's the thing. We might not like the expanded playoffs. We might not like another game. But if it means we're going to have 10 years of no labor troubles, giddy up.
Yeah. And so I'm not for the owners, but I will say this. The owners are thinking about the future. And they're thinking about how an extra game and two or more teams in the playoffs and how much money that's worth from a new TV deal.
Hey, by the way, with the Falcons, a couple of guys hitting us up on they saw the same thing we were talking about. A.J. Green, there's apparently some interest with the Patriots and A.J. Green. And apparently Pro Bowl defensive end Everson Griffin is going to avoid the final year of his contract with the Vikings.
He's a player.
Yeah, we can't afford him. I mean, you can't have Hooper and Devondre and him.
He's a player.
So you want to, is that an easy decision? We'll just pop him and we'll go draft Espinosa from Iowa, and there you go. Now we're in the pass rush business.
Mike,
how's that sound?
He's better than anybody we got right now off the edge.
So if I lose, yes, when I have to lose a Hooper and Devondre, so be it. You're getting an hombre, and if we could go draft an hombre, then we'd actually maybe have two edge rushers. It was what we thought we were going to have with Vic and Tack, which never panned out.
No. All right, guys. More on the NFL coming up in our Falcon Report at 5 o'clock. We got Bo Morgan up next with Yeah Man, No Man as we broadcast live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas. It's a long-awaited rematch of heavyweight titans, and it's finally set. You're talking about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. We're talking about Fury being on stage. He's still up there. I guess that must be some kind of international TV feed or something.
Doing a feed back to, apparently, I guess they said it was either England or Germany or something. So he's doing international, but he's in his fantastic suit, and we got the pictures up at 92.9 The Game.
All right, so if you are looking to get this fight, joint Fox Sports pay-per-view and ESPN Plus pay-per-view, so you can get it multiple ways, and that's the cool thing about this fight. Along the way, over the next couple of days, we said it, between now and tonight, end of the show at 7 o'clock, and also tomorrow, we'll be talking to a variety of guys about this fight. Brian Kenny gave us great perspective about Joshua, who, by the way, depending on how this fight goes, right, you either get a rematch if it's really close, potentially, and again, if it's a great fight, I don't have a problem with that, or
either one of these guys is going to be looking to take on Anthony Joshua, which, again, is going to be a huge fight in its own right because now Joshua's reclaimed the titles. This sets up, Mike, what I'm saying is for the next year, year and a half of an interesting heavyweight division once again. We're going to have potentially three or maybe even four fights that are going to captivate, you know, the world by the heavyweight division, and we just haven't had that in a very long time.
I'm telling you, man, for guys that are younger and didn't get to see, remember we were talking about this the other day in studio, about like the old days of like, there'd be hype leading up to like an Ali Frazier 3. I remember I was a little kid. I remember Howard Cosell and ABC's Wide World of Sports. I remember like, I'm so old, I can remember the Dick Cavett show, you know, when Ali and Frazier jawing with each other,
going back and
you
forth.
Know, and then pushing and shoving and Holly kind of doing the shadow boxing thing just inches from Joe's face. It was so cool to see that stuff. And the heavyweights are just, it brings a whole different vibe. You're getting these guys, I mean, my God, it's almost 14 feet of man meat in that ring, if you think about it. I mean, Tyson Fury is 6'9". I still don't get the strategy, though. You'll hear our conversation with Brian Kenny about it because he fought a great tactical fight. He got off the canvas with an unbelievable shot. But he's a great boxer. Just because you're 6'9 and look like a video game guy, I mean, not a guy who plays video game, like a monster in a video game. You should be boxing in this thing, not trying to knock a guy out. I don't know if I like that strategy.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what we've said about Wilder. We love his personality and what he stands for and what he brings. He's just not a great boxer. He is a great puncher.
He's a knockout artist.
And if you get caught up, and he's done this in fights, I'm just going to go out here and I gotta land a big shot. This is where I think Fury can outbox him.
Right.
And that may be the new strategy with the new trainer and all the new stuff that he's talked about and he's done in training. That kind of, you know, it doesn't scare me, but you go, okay, if you think Wilder's going to beat him on Saturday, that's the part where Fury could end up winning this fight, Mike. More on that coming up. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. We got our Hey Man Ale out here. Guys just stopping by going, this is the beer? Yes, it is the beer.
Man, we're getting some serious street cred. Scotty Farrell walked up and said, oh, my God, that's unbelievable.
He did do that. Hey, we'll find out what Bo has next in Yeah, Man, No Man. It's Dukes and Bell live in Las Vegas. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
All right, guys, Falcon Report's on the way. What did Dan Quinn have to say on a recent podcast? Find out. But right now it's time for Bo Morgan. We say, hey, man. We got Hey Man Al out here with us in Las Vegas. Thanks to Mike Bell and those long boys, those tall boys.
Right on, man. Squid, the beer's a hit, man. We're getting major street cred for those who are not familiar with the program.
How'd you sneak that beer out there, Mike?
I checked my bag.
whoa, what? Hold on. Hey, are you serious? You checked a bag?
The only time I've ever checked a bag in the last 5 years on a Vegas trip is because I brought Hey Man.
And it was worth it.
And it's been a good promotional vehicle for us.
Carl.
But again, Squid, not catching Bo's reference, I usually hit the ground running like the 82nd Airborne.
Well, he did last night. I mean, as I said, when the curtain closed in first class, he was first off the plane, and literally I get a text, I'll meet you at baggage claim. So nothing has changed, okay?
No, it's Sky Priority. Our bags are the first two off. Thank you very much.
They were.
Anyway, Bo, there you go. Are you proud of me, Bo? I checked a bag.
You know I am. Carl, I kid you not. Mike, myself, and John Michaels went to Vegas for, I can't remember. Bradley Pacquiao, maybe. And Mike scolded John for checking a bag and then stormed off to get his own cab.
He's not lying.
You left him?
The craps table waits for no man. Cutting into shenanigans. And John, he packs like 18 pairs of sneakers for a three-day weekend.
Hey, you never know what you're going to do out here. You know what I mean? But I hear you. I don't now, but when I first started coming out here years ago, I would always overpack. And then, you know, you take stuff out of your suitcase and you realize, I'm not worn this.
Right.
Why did I bring it? So I don't do that anymore. But Mike, Squid, nothing's changed. Mike is still a maniac. He rushes off the plane, and he did as much last night. But I give him credit. He did bring the Hey Man L, and I love it.
Well, I've known him 12 years. He hasn't changed one bit. All right. Speaking of guys that don't change, we're going to go to two separate podcasts that happened during All-Star Weekend, one with J.R. Ryder talking about the exact same story that Kevin Garnett talked about. And the origin is J.R. Ryder and Garnett were playing together. Garnett was a rookie in the league, and they were playing against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. And Garnett noticed Ryder was doing well, and he starts talking trash within earshot of Michael Jordan. And they'll explain it all. And, well, Michael Jordan did what Michael Jordan does.
So KG had never seen me play against Mike.
We in Chicago. You know, it's my rookie year.
And I got about 24 going into the fourth quarter.
JR is having a good game.
So I'm quiet. I always stay quiet when I play mine. I didn't talk too much.
So as we come out the timeout, just I'm on, y'all. Y'all, I can't even explain it.
We come out of the fourth quarter, KG like, man, keep going at his serve him. He can't guard you. Keep going at him. Wild too strong for this dude, man.
As I say that, I feel it.
So Mike looked at me. Look at KG.
Hands on hips, legs locked, and then he stabbed me for about 15 seconds.
I was like, Mike, he don't know the rules of the game, man. He's just a young puppy. You know what I mean?
Look, Mike, he don't really know how we... I see him and Mike having a conversation, so he's like, he don't really know. He excited, whatever. So now MJ on the back leg joint.
Okay, you talking?
Okay, yeah, huh?
And Mike looked at him again like, okay. Looked at me like, okay. I said, what you looking at me like that for, right?
I can't even really describe the next, like, 6 to 7 minutes of play, yo.
Went to the fourth quarter, man. That man got about 17 quick.
We down 25 now. It was just at 2.
Mad, looking at KG, looking at me, looking at KG.
It got bad quick, yo. I come to the joint, and then they know this. When you come and you've been on the run, you not got back on the floor, got back, had to rebound, had, and you feel like you on defense all the time, you come to the bench like this. So... Okay, Jeff. Man, my bad, dog. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
He like, that's cool.
It's cool, man. I told you, just shut the up, man. You're not fine. So you got in between the Gatorade there where you like, damn, and next thing you know, we over there like this. Y'all done? Damn, y'all done? Never talk to Mike ever again in life.
That is unbelievable.
That's gold, man.
Kevin Garnett. That couldn't have not been told any better, Bo Morgan. And I don't know what your question is, but I'm going to share this. In the years of being around and covering the NBA, I was always curious to know, because you wouldn't hear these kinds of stories when Mike was playing. You knew he'd talk. But Doc Rivers tells a famous story, and he's told this story many times since. When he was playing early in Mike's career, you know, Doc was a really good defensive player. And he took on the challenge of really trying to get after Mike. And I think he says he held Mike to, you know, held him, maybe 25 or something like that. And so Mike comes past the locker room as the teams are leaving and literally says, hey, Doc. And everybody in the locker room, like, looks, and it's Jordan, and he goes, see you next game. And Doc Rivers says the next game Mike had, like, 50 on him. So there, that's that
competitive fire.
Yeah, that Mamba mentality, that Kobe thing we talk about. Jordan had that, and that is an incredible story.
But
Mike,
the way that's edited, going back and forth with the two, that's cool. That's fantastic soundbite, man.
Yeah, and for the record, that was way longer, and Jahi really had to cut it up for me. But mainly the thing I was getting at is, what's a, you know, a guy that you just in sports that you saw that no one could talk trash to? Because we have a guy like that in Atlanta here. Julio Jones is that guy. Patrick Peterson tried to call him out before a game during the week, and Julio went flat off. That was a bad Falcons team, and Julio went off and embarrassed Peterson.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll tell you this too about Julio. There have been times where I've wanted our offensive coordinators and our offense to even be more Julio at times,
right,
where I think that we should have thrown the ball 15 times, not 9 times in a game. But you're right. I do remember that matchup with Peterson. And you're right. Go around the NFL and tell me who talks smack about Julio Jones. No one. No one's going to come
when Josh Norman was doing his thing, going round and round.
Trying, yep.
Yeah, with Dez Bryant. He was never going to try Julio like that.
A guy in sports, boy, I would tell you, currently, right now, there is maybe one or two guys that have come to mind. I'm just thinking out loud here. In the NFL, obviously, I don't think people do that to Brady. We've heard the stories about Brady and,
right,
and you know, with the championship mantle now, Mike, and all the rings.
Old man.
Nobody's talking to Brady that way.
Play with fire, right?
Yeah.
All right, so there's another story floating around, and I don't recall us touching on it. So Dak Prescott obviously up for his contract. Well, Emmitt Smith went on a radio show and basically had some comments that were not – it wasn't what Emmitt Smith did back in his day. He basically said that Dak should leave money on the table. And instead of taking maybe 35, he should take maybe $28 million a year so they can pay some other players because He says that Dak should basically take it and make the money up through endorsements. Remember, this is the same Emmitt Smith who, after a Super Bowl in 1993, off a Super Bowl win, holds out for the first, what, two games of the season so he could get the money he wants. So is Emmitt Smith out of line for telling a guy to do what he didn't do?
Yeah, he's being hypocritical. That was the year that they got back to the Super Bowl in Atlanta. They could start 0-2, and Jerry pays him very quickly. So, yeah, that's jive, man. It's like Brett Favre calling out a guy 1 year at Packers. You don't get in another man's pocket. Emmitt Smith knows better than anybody. You got a window, and this is Dak. This could be Dak's one big contract. You don't know. You know where his career could go.
Isn't it funny, though, Mike? Isn't it funny that the guys who have made their money now want guys to take
less money?
You know,
you should
really
take one for the team here. And you'll make it up in Campbell's soup endorsements with your brothers. That's how you do it.
I love guys who have made their money, and now they want guys to take less money. It's not happening.
Get out of here. I like Emmitt, but that's cuckoo.
Yeah. The whole thing is a terrible – it's a terrible thing for Emmitt to be doing because, you know, you didn't do it. Real quick, since you're in Vegas, I had this question earlier in the week. We only got about 30 seconds. So the over-unders are out for how many times the Astros will get hit this year pitch. The over-under was set at 83.5. Now, I just wanted to give you a little research. Last year, the New York Mets alone were hit 94 times by pitches.
Nobody likes the Mets.
So
over.
Yeah, man, no, man. Is it going to be over 83.5?
Over. And Rob Manfred, you can't – how can you define what is a loss of control and an intentional beanball?
Can't.
And when it happens. So that's what – I'm going to go over on this.
You can't. And I'll tell you this. We've talked about it with the Braves. I wish we did more of this, protecting our guys. Acuna, you can strategically hit a guy in a game and make it look like it's not. And
right.
That's the point. And, again, especially when you're playing 3- and 4-game series, Mike.
Right.
You play the Astros. You're not hitting them in game one. You might. But that's too obvious.
Right.
Hey, we lost last night. You come back. You play the next day. And everybody's like, oh, this is cool. Nothing's going on. Boom.
Right.
You just can't tell me that a guy didn't lose control. So, yeah, I'm going to say over with Mike. I agree.
Hey, guys. As always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more. Hey, guys, have fun while you're out there. I mean, we all know Sean Thompson stole my trip out there. Jahi hit my music.
Yeah,
he just clowns you, Sean.
The problem is the boss hates us having fun. That's why we haven't out to Vegas lately. They cannot have us in Vegas without a chaperone, and Sean is the chaperone.
All right, coming up, Falcon Report. Dan Quinn speaks. We haven't heard from DQ since that presser where he was basically announced that he was coming back.
Hey, positive message, I bet. And also a guy that would look great in a Falcon uniform who plays the position we need.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.